If you'd like to listen to the Daily Blast, plus all of our other DSR content without ads, please consider becoming a member. In addition to no ads, members receive bonus content for virtually all of our shows, an invitation to join the DSR Slack community, access to our Discord community, and enhanced show notes for select shows. For this week only, get 50% off the first year or first month of membership. Visit thedsrnetwork.com/buy and use code GREG to receive the discount. That's thedsrnetwork.com/buy and code GREG. Thank you very much for your support.
This is the Daily Blast from the New Republic, produced and presented by the DSR Network. I'm your host, Greg Sargent. On Wednesday, Donald Trump flatly declared that he won't sign a national abortion ban if re-elected president. That's a clear sign Trump recognizes what a threat the issue poses to his chances in 2024. I don't believe Trump wouldn't sign a ban if a GOP Congress sent it to him. But either way, such assurances won't protect Trump from the political fallout that abortion rights will continue to deliver. This is driven home by this week's ruling by the Arizona State Supreme Court, which upheld an 1864 law banning almost all abortions. Trump, who appointed three U.S. Supreme Court justices that overturned abortion rights, will be answering for every extremist lurch in red states from now until this fall's election. Today we're discussing this with Elvia Diaz, the editorial page editor of the Arizona Republic, which has closely covered just how damaging this issue will be for Republicans in the state, Trump included. Welcome, Elvia.
Thank you for having me.
First, let's start with the state Supreme Court ruling. The 1864 law, which will now be law in the state, outlaws abortion from conception, meaning it prohibits almost all abortions with no exceptions for rape or incest. The law isn't yet in effect, but it could be in a couple of months. There's now a movement toward a referendum to enshrine reproductive rights in the Arizona Constitution, and organizers say they have the signatures to get it on the ballot. You wrote recently that for women in Arizona, this is now literally a fight for your lives. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, yes, just as you mentioned, that is the law right now. It will be up to the voters of Arizona to decide what is it that they want. And honestly, as you were saying in your intro, no one believes anyone right now. No one are believing the Republicans, including those who are backpedaling that, yes, in fact, they are really concerned about reproductive rights for women here in Arizona and in everywhere across the country. So I do think that a lot of people understand that this is just a political landscape, that this candidates are just trying to win the election. And in the end, when they do get elected, they're just going to do whatever they want. And we have seen it. I mean, this ruling is a direct result of gutting Roe v. Wade. And so I think residents and Americans are realizing the impact of getting rid of a federal constitutional reproductive rights and letting the states decide what they want to do. So again, this is a direct result of gutting Roe v. Wade, and it's not going to be easy to fool Americans anymore.
A lot of voters in Arizona now know that if they want reproductive rights, they're going to have to go to the polls this fall and vote to enshrine it in the Constitution of the state. And one of your columnists has argued that this is a, quote, five-alarm fire in the state for Trump and the GOP, a kind of looming disaster. Arizona is one of a handful of states deciding the 2024 presidential race. Biden won it in 2020. The GOP still controls the legislature, but Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs was elected in 2022, showing the state keeps trending Democratic. Can I ask you this? For reproductive rights to be hyper-elevated in the minds of voters right now in this state, doesn't that seriously complicate Trump's path to an Electoral College win?
It sure does. Let's remember that President Biden won Arizona with fewer than 11,000 votes. And honestly, you know, in the past few weeks, I have been hearing from Democrats here in the state who privately tell me that they had been worried about the prospects of the president winning Arizona again. So they're almost preparing to focus themselves in the lower races, sort of the Senate race, and then helping the president. With that, with this kind of ruling that takes us back to 1864, it changes everything for the president. I think the Democrats do see a huge opportunity here for Biden and for all the Democrats. And you can see former President Donald Trump kind of today or since the ruling came out, you know, saying that this Arizona Supreme Court went too far in the ruling. So you can see that he's trying to backpedal, not supporting the national ban, but okay, so I don't know what I'm going to do. So kind of couching his stance there. So I think he clearly understands that his campaign understands that this is going to hurt and this is not going to go away. This is not something that is going to be a 24-hour news cycle. And then we news reporters and columnists and opinion writers are just going to forget about it. And most importantly, voters, right? And women. No, this is going to go all the way through the general election. And they understand that.
There certainly has been a lot of credulous punditry out there about this. When Trump announced by video that he wants to leave the issue to the states, some argue that he'll be able to dodge blame for the U.S. Supreme Court ruling and its aftermath. But as you sort of suggest, the very fact that it's now a crazy hodgepodge with millions of women losing fundamental rights they had for a half century in many places, that's the fault of the ruling, and Trump even boasts about it, right? And so I noticed that in Arizona, and watching some videos of some of the debates, you see a lot of women sharing their stories about why they had personally had to have an abortion, what the issue means to them. And that really suggests to me that what Trump's Supreme Court did is an immensely meaningful thing to voters. Are you encountering that in your kind of travels among voters? How deeply heartfelt is this?
Oh, absolutely. You're seeing that not just on social media and what people are saying in other media outlets or are telling us, but also our own people. One of my columnists who also wrote a piece about this this ruling, she had a miscarriage a few years ago. And so she would have been affected by this. So essentially she's saying, had it happened to me right now, which was not her choice. I mean, it just happened, right? It would have been penalized in that sense. So even people like her, that are not radical in any way whatsoever, not a progressive, not a conservative, kind of in the middle, it really touched her in a very personal way, thinking that could have been me. I mean, and she's fairly young. It could happen again, you know, hopefully not. But this is something that is very personal, is very profound. It's not just the politics of it. I mean, for the politicians, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, yes, I mean, they are trying to win an election and keep their seats or be making sure that Congress is not flipped or the Arizona legislature. But, you know, for women like my columnist, again, it is very, very personal. And God forbid that anyone gets into that situation. The 1864 law penalizes abortion providers from up to 5 years in prison. And it does not make an exception for rape and incest. So imagine something like that. So I have a daughter, you know, obviously I think about her. I mean, she doesn't have any children yet, but, you know, God forbid again, if she had to go through the process that she's not able to make a decision herself when the time comes. So it is profoundly important, again, not just for political reasons, for our own lives. And that's why I say in my column that it is about our lives. It is not exaggeration here.
I think that even the most casual observer of this can really see how deeply personal and emotional this issue is for millions and millions of people. And by the way, in Arizona, we already have some proof of concept. In 2022, Carrie Lake lost the state's gubernatorial race to Katie Hobbs, and Blake Masters lost the Senate race to Mark Kelly. All this came just after the Supreme Court struck down abortion rights. And if Republicans were hoping that the issue would fade, in Arizona, that's clearly not going to be true. Not only do we have this referendum, which voters will be discussing from now until the fall and talking about getting out to vote on, but the full ban will be taking effect right when the presidential race enters full swing. Do I have the timing right there?
Well, it is complicated, and it's going to get a lot more complicated than you described it. So the ruling came out yesterday. It has some timelines there in order to take effect, you know, so it's going to take 14 days to do some sort of reconciliation and then another 45-day pause. So that's something like that. If nothing happens at the legislature, then the 1864 will take effect in the record. That's why you have Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs yesterday immediately saying, we are going to repeal this law. We have to do that while we work through the process and to give time to voters to have their say. By this morning, let me tell you, Greg, that this is why I say it's very complicated. Technically, the House and Senate here, they do have the votes to repeal this law, because you do have some Republicans, not many, but some Republicans were facing very tough local and congressional elections. But we're talking about the state legislature. So there are at least two or three Republican lawmakers that immediately said this law went too far. We need to repeal it. So you do the math. Republicans control both the House and Senate by one vote. So, okay. So it's an easy math. They do have the votes. This morning, however, the Speaker of the House, who is running for Congress, he said he's not going to bring that up to a vote. The president of the Senate, who's a Republican as well, he said he does not have a united caucus. And so the Democrats this morning tried to bring up the issue on the floor to repeal this ruling. And one of the Republicans who said we need to repeal this law immediately proposed to adjourn, and the Republicans had the majority to adjourn the legislature. So it is going to be complicated.
So it's not at all clear, if I understand you correctly, that the Republican legislature will step up to repeal this law, right? And if they don't, it will go into effect sometime in the next couple of months or in a little longer, right?
That's correct.
And that will be at the height of the presidential race. And think back to this. It's worth remembering that in 2004, Karl Rove and George W. Bush used anti-gay referendums to goose turnout in their direction. Now you're seeing these abortion referendums, like the one in Arizona, doing the same thing for Democrats. And so what do you think the impact will be down ballot in all these races? Will we see an explosion of pro-choice voting, and will we see turnout among the constituencies that Democrats need to show up?
Yes, I do think so. And again, not just the Democrats, but, you know, independents and moderate Republicans and really anyone who believes that reproductive rights should be available to anyone who wants it. That is a healthcare issue. How is that going to change the political landscape locally? That's really difficult to predict right now because of redistricting. A lot of these legislators are in very safe districts, either Democrats or Republicans. So we have very few that are competitive. And that's why you see two or three that are really, really worried. You know, at the state level, we have about three that are competitive. And so that's why they are worried. And it's also important to know that Democrats here have not controlled the House or Senate for a very, very long time, one of the chambers since 1960s. So this could be an opportunity to flip either the House or the Senate. With in those competitive districts, and all they need is one or two seats to flip, and then you have, at the very least, one chamber. And that would be a huge, significant shift because we have a Democratic governor. And finally, after since 1960s, one of the houses could be Democratic. So it would be incredibly significant. At the federal level, some of the Republican congressional candidates are also facing very tough elections, like Representative Juan Cisco Mani out of Tucson, who also kind of flip-flopping on the issue since yesterday. So that tells you that he's very worried.
It sure looks like it could be a five-alarm fire, as I mentioned earlier. I want to go a bit broader here. Arizona is an interesting version in miniature of what's happening to the GOP nationally. In your state, it's become the party of MAGA election denier Carrie Lake, who's running for Senate. Yet this is the place where Senator John McCain literally gave his name to a certain type of non-crazy, non-extreme, or maybe less crazy and less extreme Republican, that is McCain Republicans. Now, with the Arizona GOP nominating Carrie Lake and control of the legislature in doubt due to this abortion ruling and Trump's chances in the state getting a little dimmer, you got to wonder, what happened to the Republican Party there? What's the big story?
I think everyone here is asking the same question. And we're asking that question every single day. What happened to the McCain Republicans? And, you know, they're still there. I'm hoping they're still the silent majority here in Arizona. And I say silent because I personally know a lot of Republicans that are sensible. I may or may not agree with their positions, but are sensible people that you can discuss policy, you can discuss the issue at hand, but are not crazy. You know, they're just normal people. Those are not in control of the Republican Party right now. They are on the fringes right now. So what happened to them? And I asked that question to them specifically, why are not you able to take the party back, right? And the people who are in control, the MAGA, the Carrie Lake, all the others, the Freedom Caucus of the state legislature, they really have a firm grip of the party. And it's a primary, the primary system that really hurts, right? You have moderate Republicans like former Senator Jeff Flake, who essentially left politics or left Congress because he could not win a primary within the MAGA Republican Party. So yes, you have all these extreme Republicans that have total control of the party. And so getting through the primary is almost impossible for any of those other Republicans. But then it goes to the general election, and then the Arizona electorate is not crazy or is not as crazy as those people, right? Those candidates. So, and that's why I think Carrie Lake lost, and that's why Blake Masters lost. And, you know, that's why we have Senator Mark Kelly, who's a Democrat. So, and now we're facing the same thing. So Carrie Lake, as you mentioned, she is the Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, Trump endorsed candidate, facing a progressive Democrat that a few years ago no one would think would have a chance because he is too progressive for Arizona. Now he may have a chance because you have Carrie Lake. So there's a real test here again about what kind of electorate we really have.
Well, the MAGA takeover of the Arizona Republican Party is really, I think, inseparable from another big story, which is the transformation of the Southwest in a Democratic direction, which is really kind of misunderstood. I've said this on here before, but all eight senators from the key Southwest states, Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, and Colorado, now caucus with Dems. Biden won all four, which was the first time a Democrat did that in many decades. And now abortion is suddenly becoming a hugely important issue in Arizona. I wonder, does that keep that pro-democratic shift going, that big story going?
You know what? We had that discussion a few days ago with the editorial board, which I lead, and with some of the columnists as well, whether we should start calling Arizona blue instead of purple. Obviously, we still can until we see the November election. But we do see collectively as a group, right? We do see that trajectory, and we do see the possibility already. Not too long ago, we had two Democratic U.S. senators. One of them, Kyrsten Sinema, you know, decided to become an independent, but you know, she's not a Republican. At the state level, which is something that I had not seen for a very long time, the governor is Democrat, the Secretary of State, the Attorney General, they're all very important positions and they're all Democrat. So you can tell where is shifting. Now, the big question is the state legislature. And as I mentioned, they only need to flip one or two to take control. That's when I would call Arizona blue instead of purple.
Ah, well, you know, there's another thing that indicates a shift to me as well. It's interesting how Republicans thought immigration would be the issue to save them in Arizona, a border state, right? Huge issue in Arizona for a long time. It was the birthplace of some of the most extreme anti-immigrant legislation in the country. Trump, people forget this, but in 2016, when Trump gave his big curtain-raising immigration speech, he went to Arizona, right? But Biden won there in 2020, and Blake Masters lost his Senate race, even though I think he made the border at least as central, if not more central, than pretty much any candidate in the country. And now, in addition to immigration failing the GOP there, abortion is set to rival the border or even outpace it as the issue with the most impact there. I see that as a remarkable shift. Can you talk about that? I mean, immigration has been tremendously important there for a very long time, and it's not delivering for Republicans, yet now abortion may deliver for Democrats.
And it remains incredibly important for border states like Arizona and for America in general, because they are facing a worker shortage, but then they are also facing Donald Trump and a bunch of Republicans across the country reminding people that every state is a border state. And so Republicans hoped to capitalize on that issue and I think they're still going to do it. One of my columnists is a very conservative Republican. He's not one of those crazy folks that I was talking to you about, but he's a conservative, and he's been talking about how the immigration issue will deliver for Republicans, and he still believes that. However, I think the reproductive rights is going to overshadow any issue, including this one, because it affects so many people. It affects women, it affects everyone, you know, versus immigration, right? Immigration, you can discuss that philosophically. If you don't encounter those immigrants directly, or you don't need the cheap labor that we immigrants bring to America. So I think Republicans here and everywhere will still try to capitalize on immigration. You have Texas, for instance, that has led the way on cracking down on illegal immigration and asylum seekers. They're going to continue to do that. And I do think we had a brief discussion about that this morning. I do think they're going to actually redouble their efforts to talk about illegal immigration and a border invasion, you know, hoping to shift the conversation away from abortion. It's not going to work. Not from my point of view.
Elvia Diaz, thank you so much for coming on with us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Folks, don't miss two new pieces up at TNR.com. Matt Ford on Jack Smith's brutal attack on Trump's claim that the prosecution of him is politically motivated, and Alex Shepard on why Trump's abortion stance is inexplicable as politics or policy. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Daily Blast with me, your host, Greg Sargent. The Daily Blast is a New Republic podcast and is produced by Riley Fessler and the DSR Network.